I don't have a clue how many floors the Empire State Building has got, but let's just suppose that the Empire State Building has 100 floors, and the whole world lives in the Empire State Building. But we don't just get to choose which floor of the Empire State Building we live on. The floor we live on depends on how good we are. So we can move floors over time. For example, if we sort of bring our work colleague a well-needed cup of coffee without them asking, then we might move up a floor or two. But if we do something bad, maybe we fiddle our tax returns, then we're going to move down a few floors. So life is pretty much like a sort of a funny version of snakes and ladders, where we move up and down over time, not on the random throw of a die, but dependent on how good we are. So at any point, we're going to have people living on all floors of the Empire State Building. Maybe we'll have charity workers more common on the top floors, maybe murderers, drug dealers more common on the bottom floors. So Johnny Wilkinson, he's not letting fame go to his head, is he? He's a good role model, he's talented, and he is in a plush apartment in floor 78. The Beckhams, well, they're a few floors down. They're on floor 61. Robert Kilroy Silk, well, he's recently moved down a few floors, actually. He's been booted out of the BBC, and he's been booted down to floor 40. And then Saddam Hussein, well, he came out of his hole in the ground, and he's moved into rather a pokey flat on floor 19. So there we go. And then you and me. Well, I don't know. Maybe we're on, I don't know, maybe floor 60. So there we have it. It's all mapped out. And all we have to do now is to decide the cutoff point. What is God's pass mark? What floor of the moral Empire State Building do we have to be on to qualify for heaven? Well, let's look at the two extremes, shall we? We know that God is totally good. He's totally holy. So if he is 100% holy, we might assume that his pass mark would be 100%. But we're in a bit of a problem there, because you'd have to qualify by being on the roof of the Empire State Building. But when we look there, there's nobody there. And there's nobody in the penthouse suite on the top floor either. So God's eternal party, but nobody gets past the bouncers. Well, that doesn't seem to make much sense, does it? So let's try the other extreme. We know that God is love. So if he is so loving, he must let everybody into heaven, because he loves us all. His pass mark must be 0%. He must let everybody in. But that doesn't seem to make sense either, does it? What about all those mass murderers and fraudsters on the bottom floors? What about Bin Laden? What about Ian Huntley? The news has been full this week of someone who's died in prison. Is he in heaven? God can't just pretend that all these heinous crimes don't matter. Surely there has to be justice, doesn't there? So it seems that the 0% pass mark, that doesn't work either. So what is the pass mark? If God exists, if he created everything, then it should be him who can tell us how good we have to be to get to heaven. And I think he does tell us. Mark's gospel, one of the four gospel accounts of Jesus' life, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 27. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because this rich young man, he seems to be asking exactly the same question that we're asking today. Have a look at verse 17 again. Verse 17, and look at his question that he asks. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Which is basically the same thing as saying, how can I get to heaven? And as the dialogue goes on between Jesus and this guy, we find that this guy is pretty good. Jesus lists 6 out of the 10 commandments, and the guy responds that he's kept all of them since he was a boy. But that's not good enough for Jesus. Jesus tells the man to go and sell everything he has, verse 21. And so the man goes away sad. Now, perhaps you're asking, what has money got to do with it? Surely, getting into heaven can't be as crass as just giving away lots of money and then we'll make it. And you're right. It's not be even nicer, be even more generous with your money and then you'll get to heaven. Look again at verse 19, if you will. Verse 19. It's interesting there, when you look at it, that Jesus didn't mention all of the 10 commandments. He just mentioned the last 6, not the first 4, which are all about loving God most of all. because this man could not have kept them. He didn't love God most of all. This man, he obviously loved money more than he loved God. And perhaps a few of us here do think that money, making money, is what life is all about. Or perhaps you think that life is all about having a happy family, or doing well at work, or having lots of friends, or just making sure that you feel fulfilled and happy. The point is that whatever it is that we think life is all about, whatever that one thing is, then that is what Jesus would have put his finger on for us if we'd taken the place of this rich young man. Okay, you've tried to be good, says Jesus, but what about this? So this story, it's not about attacking the rich. It's rather about the fact that being good, even being very good, is not good enough. We may not have committed murder or adultery, but none of us put God first throughout our lives. I know I fall far short of God's standard of perfection. And I'm sure all of us here would, if we're honest, say exactly the same thing. We are not being good enough for heaven. And that is exactly the point that Jesus made in verse 18. Have a look at verse 18, if you will. See what Jesus said there. Verse 18, Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." No one is good except God alone. And in Jesus' day, people would have thought that the rich, they were the people most likely to go to heaven. People would have thought that they were rich because God was pleased with them and had blessed them. And so they would have thought that if there was someone like this man who is really good, really polite, really nice, and really rich, he's every mother's ideal son-in-law. If he can't get to heaven, well then who can? And you'll see that that is exactly the question that the disciples go on to ask. Look at verse 26, if you will. Verse 26, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved? If this rich young man can't be." Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Who can get to heaven if good, rich people can't? Ask the disciples, and Jesus' answer, "With man it is impossible." Just as it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's an absurd picture, and that is what it's meant to be. Ridiculous, it's impossible. So we seem to have answered our question. What is God's pass mark? Well, it's 100% perfection. That's what God requires. None of us meet his standard. We can't get ourselves to heaven, and that is the biggest problem that every single one of us faces. Getting me or you into heaven is something that God has to do for us. But how? What is God's solution? How does God make it possible for you or I to get to heaven? Well, have a look a bit further down, just beyond our reading, to verse 45 of chapter 10. Verse 45 on the right-hand column. And look what it says there. Jesus is speaking, and he says this. Verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, however much or however little we think that our lives are worth, God thinks that we are precious enough to send his one and only Son to earth to die for us on the cross. God wants us in heaven. He really does want us in heaven. But the key thing is that he has to do the getting us there. And he does that by sending Jesus to die for us as the ransom price, giving his life as a ransom for many on the cross. We can't get ourselves to heaven, but he can get us there. Death is what each of us deserves, but Jesus paid that price on the cross. On that cross, he was paying the price that each of us deserves. Do you remember the meteorite which wiped you out as you headed off for work? You met God at the entrance, and he asked you this. He said, "Why should I let you into heaven? Why should I let you into heaven? I wonder how you answered that question. Some people, they go down the moral route. So they say, God, you should let me into heaven because I'm a good person. In fact, I don't steal. I don't lie. I give to charity. I'm not a murderer. I'm nice to people in the office. I really am nice. In fact, I'm so nice, I agree to be the fire warden in the office. They are always the nicest people in the office, aren't they? I am really moral and really good. There are lots of people worse than me. So that's going down the moral route. But then others, they go down the religious route. So they say, God, you should let me into heaven because I'm religious. I go to church. I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. I pray and read the Bible. In fact, I'm so holy, I even come to lunchtime services in the middle of a busy week at work. God, you should let me into heaven. Now, please hear me. None of these things will get you or I into heaven. When it comes to how we get to heaven, being moral or being religious is of absolutely no use at all. All our lives, and particularly actually at work, we're used to working hard to get things which we think are important to us. And we automatically presume that the same thing happens when it comes to getting into heaven. This rich young man did. Look again at his question in verse 17. Have a look at verse 17 again. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Now look at verse 15, just two verses up in comparison, and look at what Jesus says there. Verse 15. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You see the difference between verse 15 and verse 17. In verse 17, the rich man is asking, what must I do? In verse 15, Jesus says, you must receive. Jesus says, you cannot be good enough to get to heaven. No one can. You must receive the kingdom of God like a free gift. We don't deserve heaven. Each of us, we deserve to go to hell. But God is a gracious and generous God who loves to give his children good gifts, heaven being the best gift of all. And all we have to do is to receive it. Receive that gift, like receiving a present on your birthday. So back to our question, if God were to ask you, why should I let you, into heaven? Why should I let you into heaven? Well, the right answer would be something like this. God, you should let me into heaven because of what Jesus has done. Because Jesus died on the cross to pay the price of my sins. He was abandoned by you on the cross so that I might be accepted by you. You see, somebody has to pay for our sin. Either I can pay for it for all eternity in hell, or I can let Jesus pay for it at the cross. And so as I finish, can I just urge us all to think seriously about whether we want to be in heaven when we die? Because if what I have said today is true, then we all have to act on this information. We have to do three very simple things if we have not yet done so. Firstly, we have to admit. We have to admit that we can't get into heaven in our own strength. That our best efforts will never be good enough. Secondly, we have to ask. We need to ask God to do what only he can do and get us to heaven by trusting in Jesus' death on the cross, which is God's means of getting us there. So we've got to admit, ask, and then finally accept. We need to accept God's free gift of eternal life. Eternal life which starts the moment one becomes a Christian and goes on into all eternity. Now, it may be you're not yet ready to admit, ask, accept today. Having Jesus as Lord of your life rather than yourself, it's a big change. It has an impact on how you live your life. You may still have some big question that you would like answered. That is absolutely fine. But please don't stop investigating Christianity until you've come to a decision of whether Christianity is true or whether it's a load of rubbish. As you probably know, we run Christianity Explored courses here, and they're the perfect place to do that investigating. You've been given, I think, one of these red flyers that has all the details about our Christianity Explored courses. Do think about coming along to one of those if you want to investigate things further. But please, please don't put off the moment of admitting, asking, accepting. Don't put it off unnecessarily. If you've realized what I've been explaining is true today, well, I'm going to finish by just praying a prayer that you might like to pray. Just doing exactly that, admitting, asking, accepting. Why not pray it with me? I'm going to pray it very slowly, but as I pray it slowly, you might just like to echo it in your heart. For those of us who are already Christians, it's a great prayer that we can pray, reminding us of all that God has done for us. So let's just close now in prayer. Heavenly Father, I admit that I can't get to heaven in my own strength. I admit that I have rebelled against you. And however good I try and be, I'll never be perfect in my own strength. So I ask you to get me to heaven. I trust in Jesus' death on the cross, where he paid the price of my sin. I accept your free gift of eternal life. Thank you that it starts now as I begin my relationship with you as my Lord. Please help me to get to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.